I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Philippians. I want to go back to the birth of the blessed Son of God. And beyond that birth to His eternity with the eternal Father and the eternal Spirit in the eternity that is past. And I want to look at three things that we should particularly pay attention to. One, we need to go back. We need to think about matters that are hard for us mortals to understand. For instance, it is very hard to define eternity because we are all creatures of time. Eternity knows no time measurement. It never had a beginning, and it will never have an ending. Eternity is the atmosphere of the eternal God. And it boggles our very imagination to think about it. From where did Christ come? Came from eternity. So we need first of all to go back. But then He came down. He came down from the glory of His Father's house. The wonder of the place where the everlasting God dwell. We can well understand the outer rooms of the great home of God, where all the angels meet to do His commands and obey His wishes. But when we come into the eternal council chamber of the great house of many mansions, then we mortals can only stand in silence. It is well that God's house had a council chamber. For if there had been no council chamber and no council of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there would have been no salvation for lost sinners. But thank God, before the hills in order stood, or this earth received its frame, in the heart, in the mind, in the being of the everlasting being of God, there was a wave of love. What for? Angels? No. What for? For those that always kept His commandments and did His will? No. But for sinners yet to be created, who would fall from their righteousness with which they were created, and would fill this earth that God made their home with their sins and their filthiness and their rebellion. and upon that earth still to be created, and upon those people still to walk this planet earth, God had love. God is eternal, so His love never had a beginning. God is eternal, and His love never has an ending. It never began. It never will finish. The boundless love of God. Eternity. The eternity of the eternal God. So we go back. We go down. But then we go up again. Is there anything higher than God's majesty in the eternity that is past? Yes. Because God has highly exalted Him. But is there anything higher than the glory of God? We're now dealing with gospel mysteries, yes. Something in heaven that was never there before. A height in heaven that was never imagined to be there. God have highly exalted Him. Is there a name higher than the names we know concerning God? Yes. A name above every name. Now we're in the place of mystery. I can't understand it. I can't take it in with my poor little mental capacity here. But I stand in awe when I read the words, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Let's go and look back for a while. Stand with me with Matthew in his first chapter. If you're going to go back, you have to go right back to Genesis. And when I look into the Bible, I find there is a space in my Bible between Malachi and Matthew. It was a space of 400 years. And in the 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, God never spoke one word to this earth. It was 400 centuries of darkness. Darkness covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. And then when we come to Hosea, we have to go back to Isaiah. That's another 160 years. And then we have to go back to 1 Kings. That's another 411 years. And then we have to go back to the first book of Kings and the first book of Kings to Joshua, that's another 400 years. And then we have to go back from Exodus to Joshua, and that's another 700 years. And then we come to the big jump. We come to Exodus to Genesis. That's 2,416 years. We're going back now. And then we come to a full stop in creation. And then we enter the land of mystery, where there was no time, no calendars, no days, no markings, where there was a great eternity of the past. The Puritans called it in their writings the old eternity. The old eternity. Why? Because we're not going back to the old eternity. We're going to go to a new eternity, where there will be a place that never was even imagined in the first eternity. A height that never was imagined. The redeemed of the Lord will set their foot on a height in heaven that was made in the mind of God from all eternity when he met in the council chamber and loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Redemption bought at highest cost, he offered free to all. May God give us today in our hearts a vision of that eternity that is past. It was a time when God dwelt alone. There was a time when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwelt alone. There were no angels. There was no other creatures but the triune Jehovah. But God in his wisdom decided to create. And so he created angels. But they too were touched by sin, and a third of them fell from their lofty stature down into the everlasting chains of everlasting damnation. And then he created man. Man in his own image and after his own likeness. And what happened? Man too turned from life to death. And from life to death he turned. And there came the fall. So God saw ruin in his heavenly celestial creation among the angels. And he saw ruin on earth with fallen man. But God didn't turn his back on fallen man. He turned his back forever upon the fallen angels. And the third that followed Satan in his rebellion, there's no repentance for them. There's no redeeming them. They're lost! And the coming eternity will reveal the darkness of their lost estate in the everlasting burnings of the damned. But he had a tear in his eye for mankind and their sins. He had an urge in his heavenly heart for you and I, accursed members of an accursed human race that put our tiny little fists up and defied his authority and broke his command. But the only way to save those sinners was to bring a parting in the very Trinity of God. Someone must go. Someone must take those sins, because sin is such a terrible thing that God alone can atone for it. No one can do away with sin but God. And if God doesn't take it away, it will be there to curse the person that has a stain on his soul forever. But thank God, the Father looked in his Son, his lovely Son, his well-beloved Son, his only Son. And God's love had such a power for you and me that God's love said, I'll part with my Son rather than be parted with sinful men forever. Oh, we can say today, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of a Son. And the Son didn't say to the Father, I'm not going to go. The Son said to the Father, here am I, send me. And the God of heaven, God the Son, had to come from the mystery of eternity past, and he had to come down. And if you look with me at my text, you'll find what that coming down really meant. He was equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, and so on. He was rich, yet for our sakes it became poor. How rich he everlastingly was, we will never understand. How poor he became in order to save us, we will never understand. But this we know, that because he was rich and became poor, we through his poverty are made rich. And these evil hearts of ours that deserve eternal death and everlasting judgment can be cleansed from all their sins and made whiter than the snow. As white as the very heart of God himself. And that's what this gospel is about. It's the gospel of one who came. But he couldn't come until he said goodbye to all the rest. Goodbye to heaven with its pearl-hung gates and golden streets. Goodbye to the water of life that flows through the everlasting city of God. Goodbye to the archangels and cherubim who worshipped with their wings over their eyes, for they dare not look into the face of the everlasting God. Oh, what a journey this was that Jesus took. I referred to that journey last Monday evening at our service. And I said then, and I would repeat it today, a Christ in this sacrifice had to do something. He had to be bound with chains. And what chains was he bound with? And as I look into that chapter in Philippians, I see first of all that the Lord Jesus Christ was bound by the awful binding. He made himself of no reputation. Can you understand that? That the one who had the reputation of being God of God, light of light, very God of very God and very man of very man should come to a place where he had no reputation. No one took his reputation from him. He laid his reputation down. I see him standing in the heights of heaven. The angels stand awestruck because God's Son is leaving heaven. The Bible tells me the angels desired to look into it. They couldn't understand it. What is this? In the history of the Godhead, what is this? This is something that's special, that never was seen before and will never be seen again. And he divested himself of his reputation. He took off the crown of the Godhead that was on his head. He took off the shoes of splendor was upon his feet. He divested himself of any reputation he had to be born in a cattle shed and to be cradled in a crib. You know who he did it for? He did it for you. And he did it for me. For you. And for me he did it. And he stood there and said goodbye to his father. And when he came back again, his son would be different. Because his son would be a nail-marked son, a thorn-marked son, a spear-ruptured son. He'd never be the same. And he would be clothed with flesh and would be everlastingly, not only eternally God, but forever human. Son of God and Son of Man. And he did it for you and for me. He made himself of no reputation. The modernists tell me that Jesus gave up his Godhead. My friend, deity cannot undeify itself. God cannot un-God himself. On all the time that Jesus was in a state of humiliation, he was still God. And at times, he lifted the veil. One of the most important times in his life was in Gethsemane. And when they came to arrest him, he lifted the veil. You know what happened? Every one of them, from Judas to the last soldier in that field, they fell thrown to the ground with the force of Christ just lifting the veil for a second of time. Why, he was always God. And I was amazed last night as I looked up that scripture. You know when it happened? It happened when he mentioned his name. He said, I am. And once he said that, not a knee could stand without bending. And not a man could stand above the ground. They were all fallen to the ground. He was and is God, but he also now is man. Deity and humanity married together in a perfect, perpetual union to make him the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. So with a human hand, he can leave his hand on my head and claim me as his own. And with the other hand, he can join hands with deity, his Father and the Holy Ghost. What a Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Time has run out. who could preach an eternity and only have 30 minutes to do it. I have just opened the door today to show you in. Go in and see the wonders of the eternal Christ. Go to Calvary and see the wonder of His redeeming blood. Go to the tomb and see the wonder of His rising from the dead. Peer into heaven and five bleeding wounds He bears received on Calvary. They speak effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive them all, forgive me, Christ. Or let the ransomed sinner die. He's coming again. He'll not have no trouble about reputation when He comes. The heaven shall glow with splendor, but brighter far than they. The saints shall shine in rapture as Christ shall them array. And the beauty of the Savior shall dazzle every eye. For the crowning day is coming by and by. Don't you want some stars on that crown to present to the feet of Jesus? Oh, let us go after the lost souls of men. If God went after them so hard and made such sacrifices, is there no sacrifice that we cannot make to bring sinners to the foot of the old rugged cross? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy presence. It's Thy presence that makes the feast. And we pray that today we may be drawn nearer and closer to Thy precious bleeding side. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you.